All right, welcome to this week's edition of Hunting for X's, the podcast with Mr. Nathan Brooks and Mr. Darren Christenberry, brought to you by the fine folks at Elite Archery, Scott Archery, Custom Bow Equipment, Flex Fletch Products, and Winner's Choice Strings. Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Morning.
Good. Doing good, Dan.
Did you, Nathan, folks, if you missed it, Nathan did a full hour and 20 minutes, or it was a big live event on social media the other day. I watched it a little bit and got to learn his stuff. And one thing I did learn is he's got a lot of stuff in his workshop, man. He's got stuff everywhere.
Well, I have a good face for radio.
Yeah, well, that wasn't radio. That was live TV.
I know. I'm just saying. I have a good face for radio. that's something I've learned.
Hey, I don't know, man. You guys are getting a following. I had an email. I don't know if you saw that post I posted the other day, but I actually had an email comment from, what was that, Shelley from Illinois? Somewhere in Illinois. I can't remember where. She said, Darren Christenberry is a sexy beast.
Yeah, I know you're making that up.
I'm not making it up. I posted it. It was here. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Let's see.
Dan, I don't need anybody to post that for me to know that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to need her name, full name and phone number and address, please.
and measurements? What, Darren?
And measurements, yes.
Oh, come on. We'll see if I can scroll and find it. I know I just posted it on here. Let's see. So, anything going on exciting besides getting ready for hunting season?
I still work every day. Who's got time to hunt?
That's what I was getting ready to say. Dan, I'm going to tell you how sad this is.
Yeah, you haven't been hunting yet.
I ain't even bought an Arkansas license.
Oh, well, you went antelope hunting.
Yeah, but I mean, season's been in since like mid-September here, and I mean, I ain't even thought about it. I did get out a couple cameras the other day, so if I get some pictures of something, maybe it'll excite me enough to get out there and go chase something. But
yeah, Darren, do you know?
I got a trad hunt coming up here in Oklahoma the first weekend of September that I'm really excited about. Special draw thing, and they kill some just ginormous deer out of this. Last year they killed a 206 out of this place.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. And of course last year was also probably my hunt. I drew it last year for the first time in like 5 years, and we had tornado warnings, ridiculous wind, like 35, 40 mile an hour gust the whole time. And it rained. I mean, it was probably the worst. In 75 degrees, probably the worst November hunt they've ever had on record. But hopefully this year it'll be better.
Yeah. Here's the emails I got from last week. Love the content and chance to win prizes every week. Steve from Paducah, Kentucky. Tackle and Tacos is my favorite show. Phil from Fort Benning, Georgia. Thanks for making my drive easy every week. Luther from St. Louis, Missouri. That Darren Christenberry is a sexy beast. Shelley from Athens, Illinois. Outdoors DM, we really love the Outdoor Call Radio app. We don't have to look for good hunting and fishing shows to listen to. Wesley in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. It's free to listen, and shows are great. James in San Antonio, Texas. See?
Wow.
You got you a big fan. You got you a big fan, Darren.
We got six fans. I'm digging it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go. So, I still haven't got my Caro yet, but I'm anxious to get it to shoot it. And I thought you did a good job on that live Q&A the other day, Nathan. I thought you did good. What I was trying to ask you, the Caro is the same. It's the same axle-to-axle length as the Ethos, but it's the cam. That SPX cam is a smaller cam than what's on the EOS, and it's for like 24 to 29 inch draws. So when I said, does that allow you to shoot on the top of the cam? What I was trying to ask you, does that mean you're getting to use almost all of the cam when you draw? Cause like on my Omnia, I'm a 28 and a half inch draw, and I move that module, I'm not getting the full use of that cam because of my draw length. Does that make sense? That's what I was trying to ask you.
Yeah. It does. And yes, you will be on the, you know, the higher end of that. So that would definitely get you more performance and more, you get the most efficiency out of the cam.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, see, like, you know, Darren, I was always taught when you get your bow, if you got it all the way cranked down, you're shooting at the bottom of the bow, you know, so that's how I was taught. That's the terminology. So when I said, are you, if you're at the top of the cam, you know, that's the, all the way that you're getting the most out of the cam is what I was, is there a correct term for that?
You're getting the peak performance out of the whole system when you're doing that. If you're operating at the longest draw length, the end of the cam, and you're shooting it at peak weight, you're getting the maximum performance and maximum efficiency. Changing things doesn't typically affect accuracy. You know, when people say, oh, is it going to affect performance? Yeah, it's going to affect performance because if you lower the peak weight of your bow, your arrow shoots slower. It has less kinetic energy. It affects performance. Should not affect accuracy, but when you back those limbs off, it can also lengthen your draw length in very small increments. So there's a cause and effect. If you change something, it's going to affect something, sometimes in a positive way, sometimes in a negative way. So it's give and take.
Yeah. See, when I first started, I was always taught if you say, like, if you buy a 70-pound bow, and you're shooting, I mean, you got that thing backed out to as far as it'll go. You know, you're not getting the most, it's not going to be the most efficient setup for you. You should buy a 60-pound bow if you need to shoot a 60 or 61. Correct. Right.
So. Makes more sense.
Yeah, but I mean, that's back in the steel cable days and, you know, the 40, 41, 42 inch right length, axle to axle length. And, you know, it was a different world back in that, you know, 35 years ago in archery, but is it the same premise still?
Yeah, I think basically, you know, if you're going to shoot 50 pounds, don't order a 60-pound bow. It doesn't make sense, you know?
Yeah.
If you want adjustability and you're going to use one bow to do everything with, yeah, then it might make sense. You might shoot 50-pound indoors. You might peak it and get 62 pounds for your hunting bow or whatever. If you just have the budget for one bow, I could see you doing that. But, you know, we even changed the terminology. We don't sell bows with a weight range. You know, a lot of times you used to see 55 to 70 or 45 to 55, 50 to 60. Ours are peak weights. We sell bows at a peak weight of 75, 70, 65, 60, et cetera, et cetera. And you've got some adjustment to back those limbs off. But if you know what you're going to shoot, I would recommend ordering your bow that has a peak weight near what your desired weight is. You know, if I want to shoot 58 pounds, I'm going to get a 60-pound bow. If I want to shoot 50 pounds, I'm going to order a 50-pound bow. So that's just my opinion. Does it matter? Doesn't affect accuracy whatsoever. You can back those limbs off, do whatever you want. It's a machine. As long as you don't interrupt it, it'll shoot in the exact same hole. Performance, yes. Performance is affected by lowering your peak weight. It affects the draw weight, the kinetic energy, the speed of your arrow, et cetera, et cetera.
No, you're good. So I was thinking the other day about going down to 50 pounds just to save my shoulders. I'm shooting 60-pound bows now. So I'm shooting a 300 spine arrow. I got a 28.5-inch draw. I'm shooting 29.5-inch arrows. If I go to a 50-pound bow, so that's going to bottom down. If I got that all the way screwed down, folks, I should be shooting 52 to 53 pounds, I would think, depending on the limbs. Because each limb is going to be a little bit different, right, guys?
Each bow could vary a little bit, but they're basically, bows are going to come out of the box about 2 pounds heavy. If you get a 60-pound bow, it should peak somewhere near 62 pounds. So if you take three full turns off, depending on the draw length you have the bow set up, each turn is going to represent somewhere between 3 and 4 pounds. So you could lose 9 pounds, you could lose 12 pounds by backing it off three turns, depending on the bow, depending on the draw length.
Okay, so right now I'm shooting 58 pounds. I'm shooting one full turn off the bottom on my Omnia. So it's 58, almost 59 pounds, I think, the last time I put a bow scale on. So, guys, if I go to that setup next year, if I'm shooting on the bottom end of the bow at a 52 to 53 pounds, am I losing that much efficiency going back from a 58 to a 53, 52?
If you're using the same arrow, yes.
Okay, well, I was going to go to a 350 spine arrow.
Yeah, you mean it's apples to apples. If you're shooting a 300 spine arrow that weighs whatever, and you're getting, let's just say, 270 foot per second. Let's just throw that number out there. If you lower your poundage and shoot that same arrow, you're going to drop significant feet per second.
No.
If you drop that poundage and then go to a lighter spined arrow, then you can probably still get that up to 270 foot per second. It's just an apples and apples comparison. If you don't change your arrow setup, you're going to lose efficiency, you're going to lose speed, you're going to lose kinetic energy. If you try to match your arrow to your specific bow setup, you can still get really close, if not the exact same performance out of that bow.
Well, that's what I was thinking, Nathan. I I do so much self-filming. You know, with a 50, if I go to 58 to 53, I'm going to be able to just draw so much easier, quicker, and I'm going to be able to hold forever. If I have to wait for a shot, I don't know. I was kind of pondering that, and I'll be 60 next year, and I kind of want to save my shoulders. I already had one rotator cuff surgery, but I can draw like my Omnia. I can draw that pretty easy, but it's just when it gets cold, you know, it's a little tougher to get that over. So I don't know. What do you think, Nath?
I have a friend of mine who is also a dealer in Mississippi, and he's been elk hunting for like 13 or 14 years in a row now. Him and his dad goes out, and his dad typically hunts with a 50-pound bow of some sort, and this guy actually hunts with a 54-pound bow and has – I mean, forever, as long as they've been elk hunting. They kill big elk, not every year, but dang near every year. And they shoot a slick trick, viper trick head or some sort of cut on contact broadhead. And I mean, these guys are elk hunting. And I mean, I think what people put into this is they think way, way too deep into what they're trying to accomplish. A lightweight poundage bow with today's modern equipment is still more than efficient enough. I mean, just think, we shot recurves and killed a lot of deer with recurves, elk with recurves. I mean, you know, and he talks about the penetration that he gets. I mean, he gets pass-throughs at 52 and 53 pounds. Now, he don't take frontal shots. You know, he takes smart, high percentage shots. And but he has a lot of success, and I think it's the craze of the people that shoot those 80-pound bows, and the majority of that we see is out west. We mm-hmm. see way more of that out west than we do back east. But I just think it's insane. I don't see the point. I can tell you right now, my left arm and left shoulder, after, you know, 25 plus years of shooting hundreds of arrows per day like I have over my lifetime, I'm about to the point where it's all wore out.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna have to switch hands, because I've shot 70 pounds way too long, and it's rough on your body if you do it at a high.
Well, I used to shoot 70 pound with fingers. I mean, that's when I started. I was a finger shooter, you know. Mm-hmm. so but I can definitely tell as I get older, you know. And I pulled back a 50-pound bow at Archery Field and Sports the other day, and I mean, it was like nothing. It was like, "Whoa, that's nice." You know what I'm saying? It's just,
yeah.
And my 60-pound Omnia is fine. I mean, it draws back smooth. I mean, it's good. It's just, I mean, it's just you know, we want to have fun shooting, and you know, what I'm saying, folks, is don't be afraid to go down a little bit if you want to, if you want to be more comfortable when you're shooting, because you're not going to – I didn't think I was going to lose that much efficiency, if any, if I go from a 300 spine to a 350 or a 400. I'm still going to have great arrow flight. And, you know, at 28.5, at 53 pounds, a 300 spine arrow is going to be way overspined anyway. I'm going to need to change to tune it. So I just didn't think I was going to lose much. If anything, I might actually probably gain some, like Darren said.
Well, the flip side of that too is getting overbowed is a bad thing. So my dad, when I first started shooting, and hunting as a kid, he would have me sit down, like stand level height, you know, as far as a seat would be, you know, not like way high or way low, but about whatever my stand seat height is.
Yeah.
And he would have me turn in almost the most awkward position possible. And he said, if I can't slow draw my bow in that position, then it's too much weight.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, Larry, you know, Larry and I were talking about that last year. If you're in a turkey, if you're in a ground blind and stuff, Larry always points his bow at the ground so that there's the deer or the turkey doesn't see him draw. You know, where I've got to be like level, you know, I've got to hold it up a little bit to draw. You know, and he goes, no, I just draw down at the ground and come right up, and then they don't see it. And that goes to what you were just saying. I mean, you want to have a bow you can draw pretty much any position, so.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, because, you know, deer hunting, when it gets cold and you're stiff and you haven't drawn that bow back in the mornings, man, I don't know how many times I've heard people tell me they couldn't, you know, when I used to run archery shop, they'd come in and they'd just tell me, you know, this is embarrassing, but I'm going to turn my pounded down. Like, what do you mean it's embarrassing? Well, I had a big buck come in on me this morning and I couldn't draw the bow back.
Yeah. Well, and you're wearing all those clothes. You know, that right, that yeah. makes a big difference too, right? Right, Darren?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you should try to practice or at least shoot some arrows with the clothes you could potentially be wearing. I mean, if you sight your bow in August, September, and you're wearing shorts while you're outside shooting and you don't practice with it again until you get the first frost or snow on the ground, you got three or four layers on, there's a good chance you could not hit where you hope you're going to hit because of, you know, the bow's going to feel weird for one because all the clothing's going to constrain your arms. You're not going to stretch out as freely as you do when you're practicing in warm weather. But I think it's a good idea to, you know, at least shoot a few arrows with what you could potentially be wearing in the tree stand. And you know, is it going to be a sitting down shot? Are you going to be standing, you know, turned around 360? I mean, there's just so many things you could try to experiment with. Just, you know, try to be prepared when you get in that situation. And you won't know until you know. So try to practice what you could potentially be wearing out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I got to tell you, I'm starting to get, we're going to, Thursday or Friday, it's going to be, the highs are going to be 35, 40 degrees. So I'm going to be sitting in a tree pretty much as much every day if I can. It's definitely here. What is today? The 24th? I mean, them big boys should be up on their feet. Anytime, you know, after the 25th, that's when you start getting mature bucks daylight and they're starting to scent check earlier during the, instead of being at night. Now it's 79 degrees right now. So that's probably going to knock that back a little bit, until Thursday, but, it's an exciting time of year. That's for a fact, guys.
Well, it would be, if I the opportunity to go hunting, but it's still exciting for me because I'm working with these dealers every day and getting to see how, you know, the product affects them and how sales are for them and that sort of stuff. And honestly, that's pretty exciting to me too, because I work with these guys all year long and you start learning their frustrations and their struggles. And, you know, you get more details as things go along. So it's awesome to see them get a win too, you know, yeah. where things start working for them and you see their success, and so that translates over to a win. And you know, whether we're shooting archery tournaments and winning those, or we're shooting big bucks, or we're selling bows, it still feels good to get a win.
What's selling the most right now, the Ethos or the Caro?
Well, it's a pretty, I wouldn't say it's an even mix. It's probably more Ethos than Caro.
Okay.
But it's still pretty close. There's a lot of people that like the idea of maximizing their can put out, basically. And yeah. So there's so many people. I mean, like the standard bow order, if someone put in a bow order, is a 2970, you know, 29 inch, 70 pound. That's what they would want. So the Caro fits that. And, you know, really at high let off, it'll do a little bit longer than 29 and a half. It's technically more like 29 and three quarter. So, I mean, it'll really stretch. But the ethos is still very highly sought after. I think people have gotten used to seeing those big cams, and it's just something special about seeing that big old cam on there. And plus, that bigger cam really helps the draw cycle too. The draw cycle on the Ethos, even with performance mods, is a smooth drawing cam.
Yeah. Darren, any news? We're almost in November. What's the first big shoot of the year?
It depends on where you are and what you're going to do. I mean, there's some shoots international in November. I think there's a Luxembourg, the first like indoor World Cup is in Luxembourg, Germany. Then Kings of Archery's in the Netherlands. I think it might be a November shoot. International stuff though, I haven't done for a while because of the COVID and the vaccination restrictions, and I don't even know what all that is right now. But for me, January would be the first thing I would potentially go to, whether it be Iowa, Lancaster obviously will be at, Vegas will be at. I mean, it's probably nothing on my radar till probably January.
I got you. All right, fellas, I can't believe it's time to go already. But hey, if someone wants to get a hold of you, Mr. Chris and Barry, what's the best way for them to do it?
I would get in touch with that lady in Illinois, it sounds like. That's what I do. Just put everything through her to me. So, I'm Darren Christenberry on Facebook and Instagram. And if you need to send me something official, it's dchristenberry@toglc.com.
Yeah, it's that deep voice you got. I think that's what she's all fired
up.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Nathan, what about you, buddy?
Well, then, if we're using deep voice. Let me take this down a notch here. Nathan Brooks Archery on Facebook and Instagram, and email is nbrooks@toglc.com.
There you go. Go on Nathan's social media Facebook deal and watch that Q&A. He did a good job on that. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for this week's Hunting for X's, the podcast with Mr. Nathan Brooks and Darren Christenberry, brought to you by the fine folks at Elite Scott Archery, custom bow equipment, winner's choice strings, and Flex Fletch. We'll see you next time.